I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In my humble opinion, children are the best worshipers in this entire church. You might feel differently about this if you're a parent. But really, it's true. They are my favorite people to share this space with. They bring their full selves, whether they are fascinated and hooked by all this stuff that we're doing up here, or if they are bored and cranky and want to be anywhere else, you know it. They don't try to hide it. They bring their full selves. And this is especially true when it comes to the Eucharist. They bring their full selves up to this altar for communion and really are ready for the grace that is waiting there for them. There are many things about my job that are a huge privilege. But there is no greater privilege than giving communion to a child. I love everything about it. I love the little girl who takes her wafer and dips it into the chalice, sort of like she's dipping a chip into a bowl of salsa. I love the little boy who one time here at a funeral took his wafer and then turned around and came back for seconds. I love so much how they smile and they joke with me. They come up as almost like we're sharing a like inside joke together, that we're doing something that is important, and yet it's familiar. So you bring your whole self. They just know how to do that. Children hold in their minds the playfulness of communion and the seriousness of it. And that is a difficult paradox to appreciate. A lot of adults don't know how to appreciate that paradox because we're talking about literal things in a spiritual way. And flesh and blood, things that would be gruesome in any other context, we're talking about eating the body of someone we know. Jesus, who loves us, who tells us that those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. The Episcopal priest and writer, speaker, Barbara Brown Taylor, one time told the story about when she was giving communion to a little girl for the very first time. The little girl had never had communion before. Takes the chalice and offers it to her and says the same thing to this little girl that we say to everybody, the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. And the little girl immediately pushed it back to her and said, yuck, no thank you. I don't want any of that. And I mean, of course. I mean, what would you do if someone asked you to drink from a giant cup of blood? It was the visceral reaction that I think all of us would have had, and it makes you ask the question, if we really embraced what we were doing, would we still do it? Regardless of whatever you think happens in the communion, in the bread and wine, whether you think that it becomes Christ's body and blood or it doesn't, just simply think about the foundation of our faith. Jesus makes this huge sacrifice of his life, literally, and that event sustains us. It overturns death for all of creation. And then in the practice of the church, in communion, mysteriously, we're nourished by that suffering and we feed on his very self. And I start thinking, whoa, 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 that's a little much. That feels so intimate. It's a little shocking. And I have taken communion probably hundreds of times in my life. And every time I do, it means something different. It's very meaningful. It's always for me about the great big love of God and my little life. And I really walk away feeling filled up and equipped, but I can't say that I very often walk away from the communion rail thinking about feeding on Jesus. That's a harder concept to swallow. So the disciples in today's gospel passage have a similar reaction, and they're a little bit nicer than me about it, but they can't quite wrap their heads around the fact of Jesus becoming bread that will feed their souls. This teaching is difficult, they say. Who can accept it? And Jesus responds, does this offend you? Because the words that I have spoken are spirit and life. So after he says this, after Jesus explains all of this to them, there are a few disciples who decide that they can't do it anymore. They can't continue to follow Jesus. They decide to leave. And it might have been because they were thinking a little bit too literally, maybe thinking that Jesus was talking about cannibalism. But I think they might have been too challenged by the relationship that Jesus was offering them. They weren't quite ready for that kind of intimacy. I think the disciples were looking for a leader who was going to save them from their enemies and do that by being like a king, by overturning the powers that be and bringing prosperity to all people. And this wasn't the leader that they were expecting to get in Jesus. Not unlike the Israelites following Moses in the desert, they assumed that liberation was just going to be easy, that being a disciple would give them power when they felt powerless. They thought that they were getting this whole new life of freedom and victory. And instead, they get what Jesus offers, which is the life of the slow work of being a disciple, one of faith and trust and hope. That's a difficult thing to accept. There are so many experiences in our lives that are difficult to accept. And I really wish that being a Christian made all that stuff easier. There have been plenty of times in my life when I have wanted to tell God, yuck, no thanks, you can keep that. For example, when I have to learn how to get along with someone who has hurt me, yuck, no thanks, I don't want that. When I learn that the task in front of me for the week is to spend time with someone who is suffering and hurting, someone that I really care about, someone whose pain deeply pains me, ugh, yuck, no thanks, I don't want that either. And then whenever I'm forced to see that we live in a world of suffering, when I see images of pain in our world that I'd kind of want to shove away so I don't have to see them. So yuck, no thanks, God, you can take that too. And then finally, when I'm alone in my thoughts and I feel a little lonely, disconnected, and I sense that God's not going to give me an easy answer and wants me to maybe dwell in that a little bit longer. Ugh, yuck, I don't even want that. What are your experiences of difficulty that are hard to accept? Where are you in a place in your faith where you want to say to Jesus, this teaching is difficult, I don't know if I can accept it? Because, y'all, this faith thing can be very hard sometimes. Sometimes we are offered this beautiful, radical cup of blessing, and sometimes the cup from which we drink is difficult. And the challenge is receiving it, whatever that difficulty is, because sometimes that's the very thing that our souls most need. The challenge is seeing the grace even in the midst of our troubles, because faith in God is about learning how to taste both the bitter and the sweet. What helps people do that, what helps people appreciate tasting both the bitter and the sweet together, is prayer. And recently I learned about an interesting way of praying that I think helps in this kind of situation. It's called the welcoming prayer. Has anyone ever heard of this, the welcoming prayer? Fantastic. You all have homework. Go home and learn about the welcoming prayer. You can Google it, because there is way more for me to say in this sermon about it. But let me tell you how to practice it. This is about consenting to God's presence in everything that you face, whether it's beautiful and wonderful or whether it's hard and uncomfortable. So here's how you do it. You do three things. First, you notice whatever it is that you're carrying, whatever it is that you're facing that's uncomfortable and hard, whether you feel it in your body or you see it in your circumstances. You let yourself feel it completely. And then second, you pray these words, welcome, welcome, welcome. I welcome this thing that comes to me today because I know that it is for my healing. Shorthand of that, you could say, welcome pain, welcome overwhelmed, welcome sad, welcome rage. So you let yourself feel it, you welcome it, and then third, you let it go. You literally say these words, I let go of my desire to control this, to change this situation. I let go of this feeling. And that path, that three-step path, is so important for us spiritually because it's only when we fully let ourselves experience difficult things that we're able to release them, we're able to let go. The only way out for all of us is through. This is a difficult teaching. Who can accept it? How do we learn how to accept the presence of God, even in the things that challenge us and maybe even offend us? We do this by practicing letting go over and over again, letting go of our desire to be seen as successful or to gain affection from other people or to change any situation. We even let go of the idea that our lives are ours to begin with. And in doing that, we are trusting God. We're following the same footsteps as our ancestors, the Israelites in the wilderness, who learned how to trust God step by step of wandering, waiting for promised land. And they trusted God because they were fed manna every single day. In that same way, we're gonna trust that God is gonna give us what we need. Because God doesn't plan to take away the wilderness from us. But God does promise to give us what we need in that wilderness. So if you are facing something hard, might be small, might be pretty big, maybe a school year ahead where you're not sure if you're gonna like your teacher, a difficult situation at work, a mystery going on with one of your family members. Whatever it is, God promises to be there with you as you walk through it. This whole faith thing might be a little nuts sometimes, but on the other side of suffering is always transformation. There's a new life ahead of you that you could not have even imagined without going through the struggle. There's joy to be found in the life with Jesus. John's gospel this morning uses the word abide. We abide in that joy. And so today, as you come forward to this altar and you put your hands out, ready to receive the grace that is up there, abide in that almighty love of God. Be like the child that comes bringing your full self, bringing everything that you're carrying and ready to receive that grace that is waiting for you. Abide with God even in the midst of difficulty. And abide in the knowledge that however mysteriously and however shockingly, Jesus comes to us in this sacrament and feeds us from his own self. And through that, provides a way for our healing. Amen.